Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Those circuses on the air.
And the president does it.
Sometimes you feel like a...
That means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Good morning, Mr. Dave Plyer.
How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. I'm tangled up in this cord here right now with the headphones, but other than that, I'll live.
Excellent. Excellent.
There we go.
Are you getting ready for the big Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, yeah, I am.
Do you care? I'm just curious.
It's always fun to watch the game, but am I partial or really enthusiastic about anybody one way or the other? No, I'm not, because... Not a Patriots fan, although I have friends that are, and they. I have been told that when they watch games, that it's better that no one else is around because they're just focused.
I am crazy. I am tired of seeing the Patriots, so yeah. I'm ready.
A lot
for
of people
Eagles
were,
win,
so you want to see the Eagles? Do
I do.
It. Yeah,
well, I do.
I get that. But no, you know, I spend much of the day here. I'm going to just hang at home and watch the game. Maybe order a pizza from a neighborhood place.
Oh, I like that.
And do it that way. What I am looking forward to is spring training.
Yeah, when does that start? When are we?
Rogers just said we were talking off the air, and he said 15 days. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, Valentine's Day is when pitchers and catchers report.
See?
Oh,
that's right. There you go. Thank you.
I love hearing that. Love hearing that. Well, we will be Super Bowling next week. So
15 days, 20 hours.
I like it.
What are you doing?
We're going to have, on the show, we're going to do, I have Kevin Matthews come on. Jim Shorts is going to have his pigskin picks.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. And, I think we're going to have Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, and then we'll talk commercials like we do every year. So that's going to be a load of fun. And then my son is having...
Gets more attention than the game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
in some circles.
Totally true. No, Josh is having about a couple dozen friends over. Yeah, he always does. Yeah, a couple dozen. Like, this is a big party.
This is their teenage Super Bowl party.
That's exactly right. Pizza, some wings.
Hey,
you know,
they're at home, you know, everybody's going to hang and watch the game.
That's right. And we're beer free in the house, so you know, kids will be enjoying a Coca-Cola.
That's right.
Or maybe even some
boring water.
That's right. Exactly. A safe bet.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go for a little history. 1690, over three centuries ago on this day, Massachusetts printed America's first paper money. Before creating bills, Americans used pine tree shillings and other coins as their currency. And after the
pine tree shilling.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And then after the British shutdown a Massachusetts mint, the coins were short in supply, so they decided to print actual paper money. And that's how the song, that's what the
and
song
that's
is
how
about.
The song came about. The song came out 2 years after
that's
the...
That's exactly right.
The money did. You going to make it down there?
I still have this cough from like 3 weeks ago.
You're still dealing with that.
Yes. Only when I'm on the air does it get really obnoxious for some
reason.
Because I'm probably talking way too much. All right, 1824, J.W. Goodrich introduced the world to the first rubber galoshes. So it was before tires, obviously, in 1824. So Goodrich tires, you know, Goodrich tires. Mm-hmm. Well, he made the first galoshes so you could protect your socks from getting wet.
Who uses that word anymore? I mean, I'm old. I don't even use
that
word.
Oh, you know what? When galoshes. I hear older guys going, hey, you know, it's raining outside. I'm going to go get my rubbers. Rubbers. And
no,
I thought, well.
Don't use that word either.
I don't know what you're in for, but good luck. Good luck to you. 1876, baseball's National League formed, speaking of spring training, with teams in Boston, Chicago, Cincinnati, Hartford, Louisville, New York, Philadelphia, and St. Louis. So is it back in 1876?
That sounds about right.
Baseball began, yeah. 1882, the Knights of Columbus formed. And I will tell you, one of the most incredibly fabulous organizations in the United States that really gives back to the community. And,
they do.
And big dollars, yeah. Too. I mean, we're not talking little stuff. They're an incredible organization. So that was 1882. 1895, the first rolling lift bridge opened in America, and it was right here in Chicago. Of course, we have so many.
I wonder where.
Yeah, I know, right? We have so many fabulous bridges. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I have a poster that leads into my home office that has an illustration of the first 10 bridges that were built in Chicago, and they're all the architectural drawings.
Wow.
It's really cool.
I don't
cool.
think I have seen that.
I'll have to take a picture of that, or next time you're over, let me show you that. It's very cool.
Right. The French term for those bridges is bascule.
Ooh, look at you.
That's
Mr. Fancy.
Rolling lift bascule bridge.
Okay. Okay. Look at that. The bridges are cool to look at. We had a guest on, a couple years ago that talked about all those little bridge houses that are on the bridges. That some of them are occupied on, you know, when they need to lift the bridges, but some of them have been abandoned since the 60s, the 40s, the
70s. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And no one's really been inside these. And I'd love to tour one of those and see what's
that would
in
be
there.
Interesting.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be interesting. And I love old lighthouses. So you'd get the kind of the same feeling, you know, when you walk in and look around and look out.
Yeah.
You know, a lonely existence. But, you know, back in the day, it had to be done.
Had to be done. 1910, the Boy Scouts of America is incorporated by William D. Boyce. 1918, Stars and Stripes, weekly U.S. Armed Forces newspaper, was first published. Every war movie, that newspaper is always referenced.
Oh, and there's all kinds of references to it in MASH.
Yes, yes, Stars, absolutely.
Every so often a reporter
Funny,
from
I watched
Stars
a bunch of those today.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I'm WGN America. Yeah.
A reporter from Stars and Stripes wants to come in and do a story on the MASH unit. In real life, though, you know who wrote for Stars and Stripes, at least for a while, was Andy Rooney.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Look at that. 1922, speaking more publishing here, Reader's Digest magazine was first published. 1932, Al Capone was sent to prison. And I'm not quite sure if this was a newsreel. Is this a newsreel, Curtis?
Yeah, I think part of it was a newsreel.
And then just some background conversation.
Yeah,
let's take a little listen to that.
October 19, 1931. Chicago gangland boss Al Capone, alias Scarface, is arrested by federal prosecutors. Famed for the St. Valentine's Day massacre of Bugsy Moran's gang, he is also responsible for many other gang war bloodbaths. However, Capone managed to slip free of such charges in court. Upon moving from Brooklyn in 1920, he rose from a two-bit bootlegger to the undisputed warlord of Chicago gangsters. But a federal judge finally sentenced him to 11 years for, of all things, tax evasion.
Yeah, that was it for him.
That's all they could get him on.
Curtis?
So, yeah, I've got a little personal story. My great-great-grandma, my Grandma Bertone, she made wine for Al Capone.
Ooh, that's cool.
Back in the day. Yes. And the kids on the block called her the bread lady because not only was she making wine in her bathtub at her apartment or her place.
Bathtub wine.
Yes.
Not bathtub gin.
So
bathtub
wine. She also was making a bunch of breads. And so for a lot of the kids that didn't have a lot to eat, she would give loaves of bread to these children on her block. And, you know, from the money that she was making with, you know, helping out Al Capone and stuff like that, she was able to help out those
what kids was her
and
name?
Families. My grandma Bertone.
That's cool.
Do you know what neighborhood she lived in, Curtis?
I know it was on the west side. I don't remember exactly what neighborhood is on my dad's side. I'll tell you what. Next week, I'll come in with that answer. I'll ask
That'd
my dad
great.
About that.
Yeah,
I love that. That's a follow-up.
Yes, that's my personal cool. my personal connection to Al Capone.
The, wow. The most recent conversation we had about Capone was with Rose Marie mm-hmm. last year, who used to entertain Uncle Al mm-hmm. and talk about being in his home and. They were, you know what? If you were loyal to him, he was very good to you.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And that was the case with my grandma. She was very loyal to him,
so
helped
cool.
him out. And I don't remember if this was an actual thing, but I don't know if or maybe somebody in my family made this a rumor. But I thought they had somebody from Capone's like gang watching her place.
Oh, that could
on
be
on the block.
I can see
her,
that.
Yeah, I was taking care of her.
Is there mm-hmm. any receipts? Is there anything in the family that there? Well, there's probably no receipts. I shouldn't say that. No receipts. Any
no paper trail?
Again,
Dave.
I've just been told stories. I'll ask my family when I get home tonight, later today, and I'll report back next week.
Love
on
to
that.
Hear that.
Yeah.
Love to hear that.
One more quick item on Capone.
Yeah.
There is a place here in Chicago you can still go to that is thriving. Where Capone hung out for entertainment, and that is the Green Mill Lounge on Broadway in Lawrence.
That's very cool.
And when you walk in, you are walking right back into the 20s and the 30s.
That's very cool.
It's amazing.
Very cool. Let's see here. 1935, Monopoly board game goes on sale for the first time. You a Monopoly fan? You a board game mm-hmm. fan?
Yep. In
How
fact,
about you, Curtis?
When I was in 7th or 8th grade during our Christmas break, we had an ongoing marathon Monopoly game at a friend's house.
Oh, I like that.
You know, just like a poker game that goes on for days. You know, we played much of the day in because it was too cold outside at that point
That's
to do
cool.
anything.
And I love that.
Yeah,
it was dinner time. We went home and picked up where we left off the next day.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
I love Monopoly. I've played Yahtzee.
Yahtzee.
You know, all those other games, too. Love Monopoly. We have I don't know if you guys ever collect like the different versions of Monopoly. We have the Chicago Cubs Monopoly at my house. Another one too. I don't remember what it is, but we have a few different versions of Monopoly that we've
so
played
we,
at
we've
home.
Collected them for like 30 years. We've got like 25 different versions. We've got Marshall Fields Monopoly.
Yes, that's but where we got my Cubs one was from the Marshall Fields here on State Street.
And
a Marshall Fields Monopoly?
Yeah. There's like a, you know, you can bring the Frango Mint Factory. You can buy, it's pretty cool.
Okay, that answers my question there. All right.
But, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say passe, but I mean, you know, with all the digital technology, I love sitting down with my family and playing a board game, especially when we go out to Wisconsin by the lake. Try not to turn on any electronic devices. We play Life or Monopoly or whatever. Here's a classic commercial that Curtis found. Let's take a listen.
Parker Brothers kind of fun brings people together.
Delayed.
Monopoly's been bringing people together for almost 50 years. That's how long we've been wheeling and dealing together, building hotels together, and going to jail together.
There's a little bit of Monopoly there. 1941, the USO was founded. 1947, Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life was copyrighted. It was released in December of 1946 and, you know, barely made any money. But do you remember there was a clerical error in the filing in 1974 that led to the movie falling into public domain? Remember, you could watch that on every channel?
And some ran it day and night, almost like A Christmas Story.
And then 1993, they brought it to the Supreme Court.
Okay, that's
when
it was.
And they said with the music rights and the publication rights, you can't do that. It was simply a clerical error, so they brought that back. 1949, RCA Records issued the first ever 45 RPM single. The invention of the size record is really what made the modern-day jukebox possible.
Still the best way to plug a single
you know what?
Song, as far as I'm concerned.
We were cleaning up the basement, getting ready for the Super Bowl thing for my son, and my son Alex totally knows how to work the jukebox, and he just played all afternoon.
Played all the 45s.
All afternoon. Yep.
The one thing, very quickly, about the 45, Columbia Records introduced what was, you know, the long-playing record, and there was a so-called Battle of the Speeds for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the RCA was pushing the 45,
sure.
Columbia pushing the LP, and it ended up really kind of
they
being
both
a compromise.
Yeah, I was
they both
say,
worked.
They really
so
did. They
then
really
they had
did.
To make turntables for the new records that would play both, and they did.
They did. Well, and you can still get some throwback turntables that plays all three. You can get one that plays. My daughter just got one for Christmas a couple years ago. Plays the 45, the 33, and then the 78.
Plays the 78 too.
Plays the 78.
I want to get that.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool.
Honest, really, it does.
Oh yeah, Yeah.
All right, we need to talk about this.
I have a 78 player.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know if mine works anymore.
Well, the band, they get very dry. You're supposed to keep the band like moist. I have no idea. This is like from turn of the century. So I have to get somebody over to take a look at that. 1956, Chicago's Daily Defender began publishing. 1959, Buddy Holly's last performance after the big crash. 64, WCIU Channel 26 began broadcasting. 1967, the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour premiered on CBS. And here's a little, let's see what we have here. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to the next one. I talked to Dickie Smothers earlier last year about how the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour came about. Let's take a listen.
But think of the great people that predated us, Jack Benny and George Burns, two of my favorite. What was the premise of their shows? They were both married, and they were at home.
And that was
They were themselves.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
You know? And so, so what happened was, it had that time slot was really dire for CBS to fill it up. They were, the spot when we went against Bonanza in this, that season, the 66 season,
yeah.
They were rated at the most watched hour of the week.
Right.
It was Sunday night at 9 o'clock. More TV sets turned on, which was important. And they rated 90th or something. They were the last. The last. You know how much money they were losing for advertising. Okay. So they were really in desperate needs. Desperate. And so why not? A variety show is quick to put together. It's less expensive than film. And we could do it right now. And so they said, okay, the Smothers Brothers. And we were very safe then. That all that civil rights stuff and the counterculture was foaming. It was fermenting.
Yeah, it was developing.
In the early 60s,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And we had short hair, big ears, Middle West stuff.
So that's a little bit with Dickie Smothers. You can listen to that whole interview. That was a great conversation. I love talking to that guy. I mean, it was just, that show was so groundbreaking in so many ways because it preceded, really, it was before Laughing. It was before Saturday Night Live. And that was the big edgy show at the time.
It was the edgy show. They also had done a number of successful guest appearances on other variety shows.
Yes, they did. They hosted a bunch of other stuff.
That was a good launch for them.
It was.
When they started their show.
And Tommy Smothers, if you ever see, you can look it up on YouTube. Tommy does the perfect Johnny Carson impersonation.
I think I've seen that, and it is.
He was dressed like Johnny. He made Ed announce him, and he went backstage.
All the mannerisms.
Yeah, and they opened the curtain. They restarted the Tonight Show theme, and he came out and did like two jokes. It was hysterical. 74, Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles opens in movie theaters.
I'll never forget
classic.
Oh,
a classic. In 1981, I'm sure you forgot seeing this one, The Brady Brides debuted on NBC. What a piece of crap that was, remember?
No, I don't remember. Brady Brides?
Yeah, it was about six episodes, maybe eight. It was terrible.
Hmm.
Not funny. 2007, of course, Super Bowl, Indianapolis Colts beat Chicago Bears 29-17 at Dolphin Stadium. Who was the MVP of that game, the Colts?
I don't know.
Peyton Manning.
Oh, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning was the MVP. All right, we'll be right back.